Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. It's so good of you to join me. I really appreciate it. I'm honored by it. Let me know where you're from as we spend this time together tonight. I'm sure many of you were on our broadcast just an hour ago in partnership with Right Side Broadcasting Network. We have these nightly times of prayer for the president. Oh my goodness, we had so many people. It was unbelievable. But it's good of you to come back and be with me again now. We're going to continue to pray. And we're in the middle of a novena right now for, first of all, the last nine full days of President Trump's first term. And we are giving thanks to God for all his marvelous accomplishments he and his team have made for the country and the world, and highlighting some of those accomplishments. We're doing that particularly by our 10 a.m. Mass. And then here in our 9 p.m. Service, a time of prayer, we're praying in reparation for the damage that the Democrat Party does, continues to do, plans to do to our country. And you know, we don't have anything against people personally. I know of plenty of pro-life Democrats across the country, and a lot of people who don't realize how damaging and really corrupt their party has become. But they're learning. They are learning little by little. I've got this hat here. I won't keep it on the whole time because when we pray, I'll take it off. But proudly wearing this hat, as I'm sure many of you do, put up a post the other day that says this hat stays on and this sign stays up, the sign that we have outside, big, gigantic Trump-Pence sign. We're going to keep it up. We're going to keep it up indefinitely because that's what we stand for proudly. I want to get touch with you on two news items first, and then we'll go into scripture and prayer. Two news items. First of all, just now, news began circulating about a Supreme Court decision today in our favor, in favor of President Trump, in favor of the pro-life movement. It was a rule that the president put into place. Let me just read this news report from our friends over at Life News. The Supreme Court has upheld a pro-life rule issued by President Trump that will help save babies from abortion. The Trump administration appealed a federal judge's ruling that allowed abortion facilities to send abortion drugs to people in the mail. Imagine this. Imagine this. Abortion drugs, bad enough in and of themselves. Now they're going to send them to people in the mail. And potentially with the person not even seeing a doctor in person for an exam. Now, this was one of the safety rules, okay, that was put in place. The abortion industry was trying to use the pandemic as an excuse for further weakening the rules. Of course, this is what the Democrats always do. The Obama administration had weakened the rules in regard to these chemical abortions, also by letting it be used later in pregnancy and all kinds of other things. But the president appealed this ruling of this other judge and said, no, it's safer if the woman sees the doctor first. So the Supreme Court ruled today 6-3. That's going to become a common number now that the president himself, three of those six, of course, were put on the court by President Trump himself. Thank you, Lord, for that great accomplishment of this great president. And 6-3, the court ruled that the administration, the Trump administration, can in fact enforce this rule, giving more safety and, of course, ultimately protecting more babies. So that's some good news come out just a little while ago from the Supreme Court. Also, circulating in especially the Catholic news, I was very honored recently to be told by the Pontifical University called Regina Apostolorum in Rome that they are giving me a pro-life award. And it will be an online ceremony on the 25th of this month. And I've done some teaching over there on various trips that I make to Rome Regina Apostolorum, run by the Legionaries of Christ, has a bioethics program, and the bioethics faculty has this award called A Life for Life, and they want to honor the decades of work that I've done here at Priests for Life, and they know very much about Rachel's Vineyard, our ministry for healing the wounds of abortion, and of course, Silent No More, co-founded by Janet Morana, whom you see on these programs. I'm just very grateful, very grateful to them for doing that. You know, and they, of course, they did a beautiful thing on their website. Thank you, Regina Apostolorum. I know that some of you have even studied there. I've had the privilege of teaching pro-life activists and students from around the world in English-speaking classes who want to come to Rome to just get their pro-life convictions nurtured. And then they've gone back to their own countries and started all kinds of pro-life efforts and pregnancy centers and 40 Days for Life events and all kinds of other things. But, you know, I do have to give a little observation here, because I know that some of these people I'm going to talk about now are watching. And you know, there's fake news. The president has exposed the fake news. There's also fake Catholic news, and it infects certain Catholic outlets. And some of them have done, they hypocritically, because they couldn't care less about honoring pro-life work or pro-life workers. But some of these news outlets in the fake Catholic news hypocritically covered this announcement, you know, but all they're interested in doing is using it as an opportunity to say negative things about me. It's sort of like a backhanded compliment. You know, they'll mention that there was this award being given to Father Frank, but then 95% of the article is, oh, but you know, he's a very controversial figure. And then they start rehearsing in a very careless way, I might say, and not a single one of them reached out to me for comment. Oh, sure, they're going to go ahead and write an article about me, but never mind, you know, maybe talking to the guy and getting a comment or two. But no, these fake Catholic news outlets just go ahead and they'll write an article, and 95% criticizing me, bringing up all sorts of half-truths and things from the past without any explanation, of course. And of course, they'll mention my advocacy for President Trump. Well, I couldn't be prouder of that. And of course, the award doesn't have to do with that. It's not a political award. It is an award for the decades of pro-life work within the church. But, you know, these fake news, you see what happens with fake news, both in the secular and in the Catholic arena, is that they'll take something that has a grain of truth in it, and they'll just emphasize it, the parts of it that they want to emphasize, and leave all sorts of innuendos, unanswered questions, and so forth. A lot of garbage. For example, they mentioned, you know, oh, God forbid I should show people what an abortion is. Before the 2016 election, you know, I showed people the body of an aborted baby. Well, you know, I got tens of thousands of comments thanking me for that. Thank you, Father, for showing the truth. Aren't we supposed to show the truth? How is this evil going to end if we don't show the truth? And then they said, oh, but there was this big backlash, you know, this big backlash of people. And then Father Frank apologized. I did not apologize for showing the baby. What in the world should I apologize for showing the truth? What some people misunderstood what I did, because they thought that it was during a mass, and because I didn't clarify that more carefully, or they thought I had gone and exhumed a body, which is totally ridiculous. And so I apologize for not making it clearer exactly what was going on. But of course, the fake news, Catholic fake news, shame on you. Those of you that are watching now, you got to repent. And, you know, tonight would be a good time to do that. It's, you know, repent, open your eyes and repent and stop doing this to people. But what they do is, oh, they'll just, oh, Father Frank, apologize for what? Oh, no, they don't want to take the time to clarify exactly what it was that I did and did not and would never apologize for. Then, of course, you know, in these things, you know, they go back to controversies of the past. You know, I've reached a point, you know, where certain people in public life reached a point where, you know, you can't say their name without adding the adjective controversial. Well, you know, except that these people don't know their right hand from their left. And you know, they don't know the top of their head from the bottom of their feet. They don't belong in journalism. You guys, first of all, you should repent. And secondly, you should resign from the, you know, the positions that you occupy or that you pretend to occupy. You guys do a terrible job. You do a disservice to the church. You do a disservice to pro-life ministries like mine. You people are a bunch of garbage. But, you know, what they do is they'll bring up all these kinds of things from the past. You know, they'll call into question, this is a favorite tactic of theirs, they'll call into question your financial management of your organization. We actually got a beautiful report of praise from the Vatican back some years ago when they came alongside of us to help us to strengthen our work. And they said, you know, the finances of the ministry are all in order and they're well well administered and whatnot. And these fake news Catholic media try to try to twist that inside out. Shame on you. What they do is also we had, you know, at one point the person will remain nameless to protect the guilty. But one of the authorities in the church tried to hijack our board one time, tried literally to take over our board. They'd have no authority to do that. We have an independent board. We have excellent, excellent people managing our finances, Wall Street people. It's all out in the open. We got it all up on our website. But what happens with this fake Catholic news is that they'll say, oh, well, there were questions and, you know, they refused to cooperate with the authority that wanted, you know, transparency with their finances. The only thing we refused to cooperate with was people that wanted to take over our board and had no authority to do so. Various kinds of groups go through this garbage all the time. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you to the Regina Apostolorum for giving me this award. I look forward to the ceremony on January 25th. And we're going to have a nice time. You know, Dr. Teresa Burke is part of our ministry, and she founded Rachel's Vineyard, which is the biggest in the world ministry for healing the wounds of abortion. And she'll be speaking at that awards ceremony, and Janet Morana, who co-founded Silent No More, will be with us and share her remarks. She's been side by side with us in this work from the very beginning. So thank you to them. Thank you to the university, the great work they do, educating students from all over the world. But really, again, shame on the fake Catholic news. And, you know, gosh, you know, I'm gonna start writing articles about you guys. How about that? We'll put the shoe on the other foot, and you see what it's like. Be careful. I'm coming after you, and we're gonna have some articles, and we're gonna have some undercover investigations. How about that? And we'll get some things going about all that, and expose the utter hypocrisy of some of these news outlets. So anyway, we are going to, it was funny. One of the articles also, they said, oh, Father Frank is praying against the Democrat Party. Well, guess what? Those of you hypocrites that are watching right now from the fake Catholic news, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again tonight because we got thousands and thousands of people joining us who believe like we do that the Democrat Party is doing tremendous damage to our country. Tremendous damage to our church. Tremendous damage to the freedom of religion. These hypocrites don't care about the freedom of religion. They really don't. They couldn't care less. Because they don't practice it anyway. They don't even believe in the gospel. But the Democrat Party certainly doesn't believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You remember that? That was an impersonation of what they did at the, which party was it again? Oh, the Democrat Party convention. That's right. What they do at the Republican Party convention, they sang Ave Maria. One nation, indivisible. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Cat got your tongue, Democrats? And they didn't do it just once. They did it twice. Cat got your tongue? It's like when a person is possessed. Can't say the name of God. They shrink away in horror when holy water or the cross comes near them. What's the matter with these people? What is the matter with these people? I'd like to know. I'm sure you would like to know, too. One thing I do know, they're damaging this country. They ally themselves with evil in a way that I'm going to, I'm going to take a page from John Paul II in a moment. They ally themselves with evil for the destruction of this country. And then to add insult to injury, people like Pelosi, she's gone completely unhinged. I called on her today to resign because I'm calling to get, and I'm not joking now, okay? I'm not doing hyperbole or sarcasm. I want to tell you something very, very straight and true. I'm communicating right now with psychiatrists, okay? We work with a lot of psychiatrists in the pro-life movement in the realm of healing the wounds of abortion because they're very deep wounds. Some of them require psychiatric treatment. But I'm communicating with these psychiatrists also about the kind of behavior that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and company are engaged in right now, which is shared, unfortunately, by a lot of our fellow citizens and is commonly described as Trump derangement syndrome. They can't think or say anything good about President Trump. Trump derangement syndrome. And they're so motivated by hatred. As I said an hour ago when we were doing our special prayer service with Right Side Broadcasting, and I want to bring it up to you now, these people are fighting so hard right now against President Trump, right? 25th Amendment. They want to invoke the 25th Amendment. Get him out of office. What do you mean get him out of office? Constitutionally, his term expires on January 20th. That's a week from tomorrow. And now you want to engage in a process to remove him from office? They want to start an impeachment process. Now, with 1 week left in this first term of President Trump, they want to start an impeachment process and then try to get him out of office when constitutionally the clock runs out at noon a week from tomorrow. Let me ask a simple question. If they have defeated him in the election, why are they fighting so hard against him? You ever stop and think they're not acting as if they're winners? They're not acting as if they finally got us, the nation, you know, freed from President Trump and they're putting it all behind them. They're not acting like that at all. So you have to wonder what's really going through their minds when they're fighting so hard against someone that presumably, or at least in their thinking, they already won. It doesn't make any sense, does it? Make any sense to you? They obviously realize that the movement President Trump has started is way bigger and way stronger than they're able to handle. And you know what? On that, they're right. They're right. It is bigger. This hat stays on. The sign stays up. The people stay together. And one of the things we're doing, and you'll see it on my mass each morning, is that we are recalling day by day and educating people line by line, and we're not going to stop, in exactly what it is that the president has accomplished. And we're going to be educating people about that for years to come. Presidential terms come and go. Elections start and they pass and they end. But this movement goes on. The movement called MAGA, the movement of Make America Great Again, it goes on. It continues. Well, friends, I want to pray with you. Let me take my hat off. And I want to pray with you based on St. John Paul II. And these are times here on these evening sessions when we want to ask God that we might make some reparation for the evil that the Democrat Party has done. And John Paul II identified one of those key types of evil that is done by a political party or a government that legalizes the killing of babies by abortion. But before we read that, because I want to show you what kind of harm these people do, let's pray the famous Psalm of repentance, Psalm 51. And let's do it like a responsorial psalm. The response will be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Would you pray with me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Behold, you are pleased with sincerity of heart. In my inmost being you teach me wisdom. Cleanse me of sin with hyssop, that I may be purified. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Free me from blood guilt, O God, my saving God. Then my tongue shall revel in your justice. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a holocaust, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be bountiful, O Lord, to Zion in your kindness by rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifices, holocausts offered on your altar. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. One of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm really that should fill our hearts each and every day, because we are the church always being reformed, right? Ecclesia semper reformanda, as the saying goes in Latin. We're always, always deepening ourselves into the gospel of Christ and making those changes in our lives to be consistent. It's integration. Integration is a key word that goes along with repentance. In other words, we want to integrate all our decisions, our thoughts, our desires, our preferences, our plans, our activities. If Jesus is the center of our life, that's got to be real. That's not just something we're convinced of. It's got to be real in the way that we make our daily decisions. It all revolves around him. Well, that's true also in politics. It's true also in government. And John Paul II, under whom I was privileged to work at the Vatican for a few years back in the late 90s, I worked at the Council for the Family, frequently celebrated Mass with John Paul II, brought leaders there, pro-life leaders and other leaders to meet with him. And the Council for the Family at that time was charged with encouraging the pro-life works of the whole church throughout the world. And we were very, very privileged to do that. And this was, I was working over there just a few years after the Pope wrote this document called The Gospel of Life. And it's really one of the strongest, clearest most comprehensive explanations of the church's view of human life, and particularly focused on abortion as why it's wrong and how we fight it. And he goes into, in section 20, the whole question of the law. We know there's many different things involved in fighting and ending abortion. And again, this Pontifical University in Rome, in honoring me with this award, is going to be talking about all these different dimensions of the battle for life. And, you know, there's changing minds and hearts, there's preaching, there's teaching, educational work, scientific research. But there's also changing laws and public policies. And of course, closely connected with that is politics, because if you want the right kinds of laws written, you've got to elect the right kind of lawmakers willing to write them. So John Paul goes into this in Evangelium Vitae, but he uses some very, very strong language about governments that legalize abortion. And therefore, this language applies to the political parties, i.e. Democrat Party, that wants to legalize abortion. And this is one of the reasons we pray in reparation for the damage they do, because here's part of the damage they do, and we'll let the Pope describe it. It says, when a state legalizes abortion, okay, so here's what happens. Quote, at that point, everything is negotiable. Everything is open to bargaining. Even the first of the fundamental rights, the right to life. So this is the first damage that is done. There've got to be certain things that are always the same. There's got to be certain things that are stable in a society, certain things that don't change, certain things that you cannot compromise, bargain away, argue away, weaken, or be deprived of. The right to life is one of those things. But once the right to life is compromised, well, then what else can you not bargain away, right? A person's property, a person's freedom. If you can bargain away their life. And what I mean by bargain away is, okay, you have a court case. Hey, let's legalize abortion, like the big mistake that was just made in Argentina and various countries where they think somehow that they're making progress by allowing abortion. Well, they're not making progress at all. Now, all of a sudden, all of their rights are open to bargaining. And he goes on to say that when a state takes the right to life and pretends that it can be removed from certain people, and the specific people we're talking about here are the children in the womb, by means of some kind of vote of the Congress, or maybe a referendum that the people vote on, or again, a court decision, right? It says, in this way, this is a powerful statement. John Paul says, in this way, democracy, contradicting its own principles, because those principles include the equality of everybody, that everyone should be protected equally, right, in society. Allowing abortion contradicts those principles. He said, what happens is democracy effectively moves towards a form of totalitarianism. And I'm criticized by fake Catholic news for praying against the Democrat Party when it's John Paul II that uses the word totalitarianism. You legalize abortion and you move towards a form of totalitarianism. They're going to criticize him too. It goes on to say, the state is no longer the common home where all can live together on the basis of principles of fundamental equality, but is transformed into a tyrant state, which arrogates to itself the right to dispose of the life of the weakest and most defenseless members. A little bit later, it says, you know, people might say, oh, but this was done legally. But he says, it is a tragic caricature of legality. Sure, the court documents were signed according to procedure. Sure, the vote was held. Yeah, the ballots weren't, you know, were in fact counted the right way. Oh yeah, a vote was held. People filled out the ballots and they were counted and they approved abortion. Oh yeah, a law was passed that went through all its proper hearings and committees and approvals. So, but John Paul is saying this is just a mockery. It's a tragic caricature of democracy because yeah, you can say that on paper all the right steps were taken, but look at what you're doing. You're destroying the very foundations of democracy. You're throwing equality and rights out the window. And then three other very powerful phrases here. He says, in this way, the democratic ideal is betrayed in its very foundations. It says this is the death of true freedom, because the other side likes to say, you know, Democrats like to say, oh, but this is freedom of choice. No, John Paul says it's the death of true freedom. And then finally, what I think is the most powerful language here, when this happens, that is, abortion is made legal, the process leading to the breakdown of a genuinely human coexistence and the disintegration of the state itself has already begun. The disintegration of the state itself has already begun. Oh, but we have nothing to worry about, some people will say. Just a matter of political differences, and well, priests shouldn't even be talking about that to begin with. Yeah, right. The state is disintegrating. We just turn the other way. We got other things to think about. State is disintegrating. Oh, no, that's of no concern to us. Lord, we pray in reparation for the mockery that is made of law, of our judicial system, of the sacredness of the voting process, when it is used to justify the shedding of innocent blood. Lord, we pray for the damage that has been done, making everything negotiable. Nothing is absolute. Everything is taken over by relativism. Any right, any good that we possess can be bargained away in a pro-abortion culture. And Lord, we pray, As our bishops, our United States bishops have said, that Roe v. Wade poisons our Democrat system, applying the words of John Paul II here, that the disintegration of the state itself has begun when any one segment of the population is subject to this tyranny, that it becomes a totalitarian state, a tyrant state. Lord, this is not exaggerated language. These are the words of a saint of our times, a pope of our times, revered throughout the world by Catholics and non-Catholics alike. The disintegration of the state itself, that does not sound like just one issue among many. Sounds like everything. Sounds like pretty much the whole ball game. Lord, we pray in reparation for the sins of those who embrace this evil. And we pray that, Lord, every political candidate, office holder, and party will understand these basic truths that John Paul II is giving to us, that we don't have a state. We don't have a democracy unless we start in an uncompromising and unchanging way with the conviction that everyone in this society is to be protected equally. Lord, bring us to that day. Bring us to that point. Restore and protect that principle. Bring about, Lord God, the culture of life. We dedicate ourselves to speaking for it, working for it, and praying for it, and voting for it. In Jesus' holy name, Amen. Oh, well, you know, it's distressing and refreshing at the same time, it seems to me, when we talk about these things. Distressing, obviously. We're talking about very, very big evils. But refreshing, too, because we know what's right. And we're talking about it precisely because we're renewing our readiness to cooperate with God Himself and His Spirit to make things right. So thank you, friends, for praying with me. I'd invite you to spread the word. We're going to have these nights of prayer during these last 9 full days of President Trump's term. We're going to pray in the morning with the Mass at 10, celebrating his accomplishments. In the evening, well, a little sadder, praying in reparation for the terrible damage and done by the Democrat Party. Thank you so much for spreading the word. We rely on that. And now may the Lord bless you. May he fill you with his grace. May he answer all your prayers. May he protect you and your families. May he make you strong advocates for the unborn and for our country. And may he bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thanks for joining me, Father Frank Pavone, here of Priests for Life. Have a restful night. We will talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.